So I want us to relax those facial muscles. Relax the facial muscles, yes. Let's be happy. The Bible says in the presence of the Lord there is what? There is fullness of joy. And at his right hand there are pleasures evermore. Except if the presence of the Lord is not with you. If the presence of God is with you, then you have to be joyful. It doesn't matter what is happening. God is in control. God is in control. This verse that I read in Psalms, David said, once has God spoken, twice have I heard it. That word, all power belongs to God. So it's a confidence that we have in him that all power belongs to him. And there is nothing that happens to him unawares. Amen. So let's relax and be joyful. All right. Today we are starting on, a two-part series. We'll be leaving the foundation today. And by the grace of God, if God allows us to meet next week, we'll be here and we'll still take the concluding part of this. Amen. Amen. I want to title this The Kingdom of God. The Kingdom of God. And I want to continue from where our brother Sunday Afolabi stopped last week. You know, he talked about repentance, fruit of repentance last week. So I want to continue from there as we go on. You see, the gospel message that we preach is in two parts, but most times we talk about just one part of it. We talk about one part. Let's look into our Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verses 32 and 33. This is the angel speaking to Mary, and he said, he shall be great. This is talking about Jesus Christ. He said, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father, David. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father, David. Verse 3 says, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. The same thing was what Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, where he said, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The first thing that the Bible mentioned is this, the government shall be upon what? Upon his shoulder. This is the first part of the message that we preach. If you remember, in John chapter 18, when he was standing before Pilate, and Pilate asked Jesus Christ, are you a king? Jesus answered, you said so. But he continued, he said, for this reason was I born. What reason? To rule, to be a king. He said, that is the reason I was born. And Pilate was like, are you sure of what you're saying? Is this the truth? He asked, what truth are you talking about? And he left. Now, this first part, most of the times, we don't talk about it. We talk about the first one, which we see in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. And his name shall be called Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sins. So most times we talk about salvation from sin. We talk about eternal life, which Christ gives us when we are saved. But we don't talk about this government part, this ruling part of the gospel. And it is imperative. In fact, there is no better time to talk about it than now, in this period that we are in. This is the best time to talk about it. The gospel, what is it? What is the gospel? It's a good news. Good news. Now, good news about what? Why is it called gospel? Because it's something that when you hear, you will be happy. When you will hear, it will gladden your heart. You will agree with me this time that there is no news that you hear now that gladdens, that makes you happy. No news. I remember then, Mommy Amaju of blessed memory would tell me, no news is good news. No news is what is good news. But why is it called gospel? Because it is a good news. What is the good news? That God will one day set up his own kingdom, his own government, right here on earth. How do I know? Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. It says, in those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Verse 2 says, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That is why I said I'm taking it from where we stopped last week. We talked about repentance. So we begin to ask ourselves, why must we repent? Why must we turn around our ways? Because the kingdom of God is at hand. It is coming. Jesus in Matthew chapter 4 verse 17, after he was tempted of Satan, he came out. The Bible said in verse 17, Matthew, just the same place, Matthew chapter 4 verse 17, the Bible told us this. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Remember when he sent the disciples, when he sent them out, the 12 disciples, what did he tell them? He told them, go. When you go, what do you do? Preach. What do you preach? He said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So why do we repent? Why should we repent? Why should everyone turn from their ways to God? Because there is a government that is coming. If you don't turn around, if you don't change, if you don't repent, you will not be part of that government. And when John the Baptist was preaching this and was telling the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and was telling them, you need to repent. If you read that, each sect or each group that comes, he will tell them, this is what you do, this is what you do, this is what you do. The armies, they came. He said, this is what you do, this is what you do, this is what you do. So you have to turn around from your old ways and face God. Why? Because there is a kind of government that is coming that if you don't change, if you don't turn, you will not be part of that government. So, we need to start and make this a priority. No wonder Jesus, when he was teaching the disciples to pray, Matthew chapter 6, verses 9, said, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Verse 10 says, thy kingdom come. The first thing that he told them after praising the Father is, pray this, thy kingdom come. But you will agree with me that this is the prayer that, in fact, most times we don't even remember to pray it. We don't even remember to tell our Father, let your kingdom come. Go to, do a sampling of the sermons you hear. You can hardly hear anybody telling you to pray that God's kingdom should come. About a few weeks ago in February, when we started hearing about this coronavirus thing, and the way it's affecting other nations. It has not come to Nigeria then. One of my colleagues was like, is this thing real? If it is real, that means we are in the end times. I said, yes, we are. You know what she said? In fact, Jesus should not come now. I said, why? He said, because she has not enjoyed her life. She has not gotten married. I say, eh? Now, it sounds funny, but most times, that is the same thing that we do. If we ask ourselves, how many times in the past months, in the past years, have you ever prayed, Lord, let your kingdom come? You check it and you will know whether you are expecting Jesus to come or not. Just look into your life. You might not have made that kind of statement, but look into your life and see if you are preparing yourself for that kingdom to come. 2 Samuel chapter 8, chapter 19. 2 Samuel chapter 19. This is a story about David when he was sent into exile by his son Absalom. Fortunately or unfortunately, Absalom died, but David could not return to his palace to resume his kingship. I will start reading from verse 8. While David was out there in exile, the Bible said that then the king arose and sat in the gate, and they told unto all the people, saying, behold, the king doth sit in the gate. And all the people came before the king, for Israel had fled every man to his tent. And all the people were at strife, this is verse 9, throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, the king saved us out of the hand of our enemies. He delivered us out of the hand of the Philistines. Now he is fled out of the land for Absalom. And Absalom, whom we anointed over us, is dead in battle. Now therefore, why speak ye not a word of bringing the king back? And King David sent to Zadok and to Abiathar the priest, saying, speak unto the elders of Judah, saying, why are ye to bring the king back to his house? Seeing the speech of all Israel is come to the king, even to his house. Verse 12, ye are my brethren, ye are my bones and my flesh. Wherefore then are ye the last to bring back the king? Why are you the last to bring back the king? Christ has saved us from our sins, which is the enemy. He has done so many things for us, but he had to leave a kind of going into exile that David went into, and Absalom was reigning. But then Absalom had to go and the king had to return. But his brethren, his flesh and his bones were not ready. He sent a message. Go and tell them, why are you the last to bring back the king to his house? This is for us today, that we need to look into our lives as a church. The Bible said the church is the body of Christ, right? The body of Christ. But are we ready to bring back the king? Are we ready for him to come? Are we ready for him to come? But the thing is this, whether we are ready or not, he will come. The king will come. But are we ready for him? So let's go back. The kingdom of God. We have seen the reason why we have to repent. We have seen why the gospel is called good news. Because God wants to take care of all those things that we see happening. God wants to make sure that every evil is taken away and to set up his kingdom. But we need to understand, what is this kingdom that God is talking about? What is this kingdom that Jesus, when he came, talked about? To the point of death, he talked about it. And we need to look into the Bible to understand what he's talking about. Daniel chapter 2, we read verses 44. Daniel chapter 2, verses 44. This is the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had and needed to be interpreted to him. And God brought Daniel to interpret these dreams for him. In verse 44, the Bible said, "And in the days of those kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up his own kingdom. Now we need to do a little bit of a background of this story. Daniel, in his interpretation, told King Nebuchadnezzar about the kingdoms that has ruled the world up till his time. We hear about Babylon. We talked about Medes and Persia that will take over after Babylon, and Greece that will come up after that, and Rome that will come up after that, and then a union of kings which was represented by the toes of the feet. And the Bible says that it's in the days of these kings that the God of heaven will do what? Will set up his own kingdom. So if we are looking at what the kingdom of God is, we need to understand that Babylon was a kingdom that ruled this world, right? We need to understand that Medes and Persia ruled this world as a kingdom. We need to understand that Greece also ruled this kingdom ruled this world as a kingdom. Rome also ruled this world as a kingdom. In the same way, God, the God of heaven, will also rule this world as a kingdom. And what is a kingdom? The place where a king rules, or the dominion, the territory that is controlled by a king. And there are four properties or characteristics of a kingdom. One is it must have a king. Two, it must have a defined boundary or territory. Three, it will have subjects, people that will be in that territory, that will live in that place. And four, that it must have set of rules and regulations that will guide the people ruling in that place. That is why in those days, you see kings giving out decrees. They give out decrees, and you will see them send it to all the provinces, because those are the things that they will abide by. In the same way, God will set up his kingdom. God will rule over it. If you read the rest of Daniel chapter 2, the same thing you see it in Daniel chapter 7. The Bible says that it will start and it will crush all other kingdoms, and it will stand forever. No other kingdom will do what? Will conquer or will overcome it. So if we are talking about the kingdom of God, it is not something ephemeral. It is something that the same way that Babylon was here, is the same way God will set up his own. But Christ will be the king. Now, I don't want to jump over myself. We'll come to that part and we'll talk about it. But let me tell us that the reason why Jesus is called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is not because of these kings that are ruling the world right now. No, it's because of you. It's because of me. You, me, every one of us. Because each of us will be kings, rulers, lords in our own right. So he is the king of. So not just the king of all this. No, it's not. The Bible is not talking about them. It's talking about us. So Jesus will now be the king of kings. We'll dwell on this in the next part, God helping us. So, why should the kingdom of God come? Why? Have you ever thought of it? Why should this kingdom, why should God's government, why should God's rulership, why should it come? Like we noticed earlier, there is no news that we hear now that is a good news. At least from what is happening now, we know that there is no good news anywhere. The only good news is that the kingdom of God is coming. One day, all those things will be gone. The history of mankind is full of wars, corruption, devastation, wickedness, whatever. You know, people have been saying a lot of things about this virus, and it is not far-fetched from the wickedness of the heart of man. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 says what? Said the heart of man is what? Is deceitful above all and desperately wicked. You know, I was reading an article about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I think it was in 2018 or when I can't remember, when we had this World Cup in Brazil. And during that World Cup time, there was this Zika virus that was carried by mosquitoes and all those things around that time. And the scientists, they went to the lab to manufacture another kind of mosquito that would tackle the mosquito that carried Zika virus. So this article was now saying that this mosquito that was manufactured in the lab, they cannot control it anymore. Now, it has become like, I don't even know how to describe it. It is now another pestilence on its own, because they cannot control it. So you now start to wonder, what is happening in our world? That is why God must step in. God must step in. Nations are fighting for supremacy. They are fighting for supremacy over nations. And the poor masses of the world are like pawns in their hands. So they will just go, nothing. They are fighting for supremacy here and there. So they don't even care about what happens to the next person on the street. Romans chapter 3 verse 17. Can we quickly check Romans chapter 3 verse 17? Why should the kingdom of God come? Romans 3 verse 17 says, and the way of peace they have not known. Man does not know the way of peace. Mankind has been struggling to make sure that peace is available. But the Bible said, man does not know the way of peace. And that is why Jesus, one of his titles is what? The Prince of Peace. He is the only one that can bring peace to this world, to this troubled world. Man does not know the way of peace. And that is why so many people will be deceived when the Antichrist comes, because he will bring kind of a pseudo peace. And the world will rush to him that, this is the Messiah, because the peace that has eluded the world, he has brought it. Starting with peace in the Middle East. Because once, if there is peace in the Middle East, there will be peace in the whole world. You see that region? That is the catastrophe of the whole world. So he will start from there. And once he ensures that there is peace in the Middle East, the whole world will run after him. And most people will miss the Messiah. Jesus is the only Prince of Peace that can bring peace to this world. He's the only one. We've talked about the heart of man being desperately wicked. Jeremiah chapter 10 verse 23. Jeremiah chapter 10 verse 23 says that man cannot direct his steps. Jeremiah 10 verse 23. He says, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not a man that walketh to direct his steps." No matter how man tries, he cannot direct his steps. It is only a man that has submitted himself to the rulership of God that the Holy Spirit will guide to direct his steps. But mankind, it is not in him to direct his steps. Jeremiah 51 verse 23. Jeremiah 51 verse 23. Jeremiah 51 verse 23. Anybody there? "You also, our great pieces, the shepherd and his flock, with look at driven pieces, the farmer and his yoke of oxen, and with you I will break in pieces governors and rulers." Continue. Burnt mountain. Now, from verse 33, start with us, the people that God will use to break in pieces. But verse 25 said something about those that destroy the earth. That God will do what? God will destroy them. There are people who are bent on destroying this world and making this world unlivable, if I must use that word, for others. You see, I was also reading an article about Mars. and people are signing up. You know, there's this sign to live in mass. So you sign up, there is kind of a fund or whatever that they are trying to gather to make mass livable. So that after destroying this, they can go and live in the mass. I'm sure we are learned and we read magazines, and we know that people are doing scientific research to see if Mars, as in the planet Mars, can sustain life. The rich of this world, they are into that research. Because frankly, they know that this world, the way it is going, cannot sustain life for a longer time anymore. So they are looking for an escape route. So what happens to the poor masses of the world? But the thing is that God will not allow them. That is why the kingdom of God should come. There are people that are bent on destroying this world and make the world unlivable. So, even if it is for this one reason, the kingdom of God has to come. It has to come. Now, let me say this. While we were praying, this came to my mind. The account of Noah. The Bible says for 120 years, God was patient with mankind. For 120 years, Noah was preaching for 120 years until the end of that 120 years, God stepped in. And what happened in the course of that, or even before that 120 years that God gave man, there was a whole lot of violence and corruption, and the world became, in fact, it was full of violence that people were afraid for their lives. There was so much wickedness and oppression and corruption in the world at that time. And it's like what we are having now. It's like what is happening in our world. And God has given us time and is warning mankind with everything that we are seeing. It is a warning from God, because one day he will step in, and that day that God will step in is what the prophets of old called the great and dreadful day of the Lord. When Noah was going about preaching and telling the people to repent, they did not give heed. They were doing what they like to do. Until God stepped in. How did God step in? He stepped in with a flood. He had to wipe the whole of that humanity. One day, this God of heaven will step in. He will step in. But the thing is this, as Noah was in the ark, let us also be in the ark. As Noah and his family were in the ark, let us do whatever it takes for us and our families and for everyone that is connected with us, be in the ark. Because that is the only place there will be safety. Now the last part, why the kingdom of God should come, is the part that I mentioned earlier. It said to make us kings. To make us kings. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 talks about God making us a royal priesthood, a set apart generation. Revelation chapter 1 verse 6 talks about us being kings and priests unto God. The same Revelation chapter 5 verse 10 said the same thing. Say he has made us kings unto God, and we shall rule. That's Revelation 5 verse 10. Say, and we shall rule on the earth. We shall rule on the earth. So, if you and me, if we have to rule on this earth, how should we order our lives? How should we order our lives? This is the part that we'll be talking about next week by God's grace, if God allows us to come. But it is very, very important for us to know what we are getting into. We need to understand what we are getting into. Paul, at the end of, towards the end of his life, said something to Timothy. He said, I have fought the fight. I have finished the race. He said, now, there is something. There is something waiting for me. What? A crown. Right? Who wears a crown? Who wears a crown? A king. A king. It is a king that wears a crown. Say, now there is a crown waiting for me, which the Lord of glory shall give me on that day. So, are you aware, or are we looking forward to wearing a crown? You know, we sing it in one of the songs. But do we understand what it means to wear that crown? Do we really understand what it means to wear that crown? You see, let me state something else before we pray. You know, when Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 14, he said, John chapter 14, 1 and 2, he said, in my Father's house, there are what? There are many mansions. There are many mansions. I don't think Jesus was promising us houses and buildings. No. You see, one thing I have understood in Bible study is that the Bible interprets itself. God is not calling us to come and live in one mansion. No. In the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 18 verse 16 says, the gift of a man will make what? Will make a room for him. So, is your gift just giving you a building or a room? No. What is that room? It's a position. It's a placement. It's like an office. Now, when you are in an office, it's not the room. It is the authority that has been given to you. So he said, in my Father's house, there are what? There are many mansions. Say, if it were not so, I would not have told you. How do I know that it is not just buildings? The part we read in 2 Samuel 19, David said some things in the later part. He was telling some people, Amasa, he told him, when I am returned to my place as a king, I will put you in the room of Joab. I will put you in the room of Joab. That room, is it a house? No. What is it? The position. Who was Joab? What office was Joab occupying? Or what room was Joab occupying? The captain of the host. The captain of the host. So he told Amasa, I will put you in that place. That means Joab is going. I will put you in his position. If you read down, he told some other people, I will put you in the room of this place, in the room of this person. I will put you in the room of this person. I will put you in the room of this person. They are positions. There are many positions. This will be the things I will be learning next week. There are many positions. So we'll start from the gift of a man makes room for him. And that is why God has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit. Do you know the gift that God has given to you, to you, to you by the Holy Spirit? It is that gift that determines your office when Christ comes, when this kingdom is set up. Why mansions? I read about Abraham. The Bible said that Abraham looked forward to what? To a city whose builder and maker is God. Why a city? In the time of Abraham, it is something so common to do what? To build a city. In fact, someone of his caliber he can have cities that he will rule. But he looked at it, no, someone has promised me something better. God told him, I will, in fact, from you, all the nations of the whole world will be blessed by you. So it is a far greater opportunity than for him to carve out one small place and be ruling over them. We'll look at this in depth next week. May God help us. In Jesus' name, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the entrance of your word that has given us light and understanding this evening. We give you the praise. We give you the glory. We ask, dear Lord, you said you will give us your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Spirit will lead and guide us into all truth. May your Spirit continue to give us understanding of your word. Jesus, you have promised us that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we have understood from your word today that we are part of those kings that you are talking about. We pray tonight that you will help us to attain unto this kingship that you have promised. And Father, tonight, we want to use this opportunity to pray and to ask, let your kingdom come.